There is only one podcast that can legitimately call itself the voice of reality TV. Download the show at rffradio.com. We are not sure if they can play nice with each other, so now, from separate studios deep in the Husker Nation of Nebraska and in the Big Apple, are Rob and Trevor with the Reality TV Podcast.
Welcome to the longest-running reality TV podcast on the internet. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Rob. Hi, everybody. Hi. Welcome to our
Two shows in the top 100. Let me just throw that out there. Two of the top 100 rated shows on iTunes or RFF Radio.
I haven't looked. I need to check that again. I'm not sure how accurate that information is.
It'll be three by the end of the night.
I'm not sure how accurate that information is today. But yeah, we are still right up there. Even today, which for us to be in the top 100 of shows on basically the end of our week, the beginning of a new week, is amazing for us. We were 70-something today.
Yeah, we usually peak on Friday.
Yeah, it's Friday, Monday.
Yeah, that's when we hit our stride.
Yeah, and then still to be there on Wednesday, we just got the greatest listeners ever.
Absolutely. Look at the chat room. It's packed.
It is packed tonight. It's amazing.
Chat room's rocking right now. Jeez. Look at that. You have to scroll down to see all the names in it.
I do want to let some people know on potential interviews that people I've been bugging lately. I think next week, the plan is right now to have Mark and Tony live.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice. So I'm okay.
Looking forward to having
them. Right before
them
the final four episode of The Amazing Race.
Yes. Yes.
Greg's going to be hitting the final because we have how many teams left in The Amazing Race now? Five?
I believe so. I need to look at my always accurate Wikipedia.
We're down to five teams on the Amazing Race. Yes. They're coming right in for the final four episode.
Yes.
It's a final four extravaganza.
It is. And, I do have interview with Marty tonight and with,
That was great.
Gary and Mallory. Yeah, I got a good 4 minutes in with,
Did you ask Marty if he regretted giving up his immunity idol?
I don't remember what I asked for sure. I only got two questions in, and he talked the rest of the time. So it wasn't that exciting.
He seems like somebody who just throw him a little bit and he can go.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I'm also talking with Brittany still, trying to get her on the show, possibly Hayden.
Okay.
And our favorite, Parverty.
Nice. I saw that. To me, of all the interviews, you almost got lined up. Parvati, to me, is what I'm anticipating. She's awesome on Survivor. I wish she was on every single season of the show.
That's the thing. These are all almost lined up.
I mean, yeah, Brittany, Hayden, yeah, sorry, but Parvati, I mean, yeah, that. Well, yeah, Davey's right. She's a Survivor Hall of Famer.
First ballot. She is. So, hopefully, that comes through.
I did a complete 180 on Parvati, because I used to not be a big Parvati fan.
I wasn't
either.
Then
you just have to admire the way she plays the game and just manipulates everybody into doing her bidding.
Absolutely. I don't know if she shows her snatch or what the deal is. She definitely can get them to move, kind of like Brenda could.
Yeah. Well, all right, two funniest back-to-back quotes on tonight's show. First, Benry talking about Chase. He goes, you know, Chase just needs to grow a pair. He actually said, grow a pair.
Chase needs to get his pair back. That's the
Chase needs to get his pair back. And then when Jane's walking along the beach and she's talking about Chase, she's like, I don't know what that Brenda has on Chase.
Some magical spell she's got.
She actually said something about Chase must just want to get in her pants or
something. Yeah, Chase must just really be real warming up to her because he wants to get in her pants.
I heard get in her pants and I was on the floor laughing that Jane would be the one making that comment.
Which just shows you
because you know if they're saying that on TV, they're saying much, much worse that is not being put on TV by the cameraman.
That's a great point, because if that's what's making it to TV, what is being said at camp that we don't see?
Yeah. Because you know, I guarantee Benry and whoever go off on, like, by themselves, and they just rip on the way Chase was, like, chasing Brenda around like a smitten puppy dog.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It was embarrassing.
It was. So let's rewind to the beginning of Survivor tonight. We start out, Brenda is just on a huge power trip after Tribal Council. She calls herself the king and Sash a queen. Which was kind of offensive, in my opinion, but I don't know. But
what's interesting, see, I feel like Brenda kind of always put herself out there as the leader, and it came back to bite her, whereas Sash, I think, has done, had just as much a hand in everything as she has. Yeah, he quietly, yeah, wasn't painted as the first guy that needs to go. He's painted as the second guy, which is why I think he held his immunity idol tonight. Even though I thought, you know, I was kicking it around in my head. If you were Sash, would you have played it to keep your own person on the show and then to take out somebody on the other side? Because we're down to how many people left on the show?
Nine. We're down to nine.
Nine. See, if you had played your idol and, let's say, gotten Benry off, right, you could have eliminated a strong person and then held three, had still three core people in your alliance. It's a lot easier to pick up two votes now. To being nine and just having you and Chase, which right. is basically you.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was a dick move. He voted for Brenda, didn't use his idol to save Brenda. I just thought it was a dick move by Sash.
I thought Sash should have played the idol. Honestly, I have to
agree with you.
There's 10 people left in the game, right? You have an idol. You give it to Brenda. Brenda stays in the game. At least you have you, Brenda, and Chase with nine people left, right? There's
right.
three of you.
Absolutely.
It's going to be easier to because the game's all about numbers.
Yep.
It's going to be easier to try to pick up two people than it is to be in the position you are now, which is basically all by yourself.
It is easier. I see your point. It's easier to go in three versus six than it is two versus seven.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing now. It's Sash and Chase versus the other seven.
And Sash is going to have to play his idol again next week. He's going to have to play his idol next week.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure he's going to be the target. Although then the threat of the idol comes in. Oh, you're going to vote for me? I'm going to play my idol then. Although with seven people, they can just split their votes and render the idol worthless.
Absolutely. And that's where it's easier to go in three versus six than two versus seven.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it was a dumb move for Sash to not protect his alliance. Because in this game, you have to protect yourself, you have to protect your alliance.
Yeah, and you have to have the numbers. The numbers
right.
are... Every ex-survivor person that comes on our show always talks about the numbers.
Yep.
And that you have to have the numbers in your favor. You know, and I feel like if he had saved Brenda, he still wouldn't have had the numbers in his favor. But he would have been a lot closer to getting them in his favor. Right? If you have
right.
three, who's to say you can't sway Kelly Purple? I mean,
right.
she's kind of just floating around in this
she
game.
She is worthless. I mean, that's where the vote for Benry came from tonight, was Kelly Purple.
Mm-hmm.
She's just clueless.
And I mean, to me, it seems like now the dominant alliance is Holly, Jane, Benry, Dan, surprisingly, could find his way in the final four or five.
Okay. This is what I talked about last week. Every week we start over with alliances.
And here's the thing. Benry, to me, he's got a great chance to go win this
thing. He does.
Because let's say they get rid of Chase next week. Who's going to stop Benry and Jane could just – and I'm throwing Jane in there because Jane just keeps dominating these idol competitions.
Yeah.
Benry and Jane could just split the immunity idol for the rest of the season.
Yep. Yep. Okay, so they're talking in the chat room about who got votes tonight. Nayanka got one vote from Brenda. Benry got one vote from Kelly S. Everyone else voted for Brenda. That's including Sash and Chase.
Here's the thing about Kelly Purple's vote for Benry, right? It was one of those random votes that if she keeps it to herself, it's going to annoy Benry all week. He's going to want to figure out who voted for him. And I bet he's going to assume it was Chase.
No, I think he's going to know. Because Kelly Purple just... She has no idea what she's doing out there. Neither does Dan. This game is going to come down to Holly, Dan, and Kelly Purple in the final three. one person who didn't want to be there from the beginning, and two people who don't know what the hell they're doing there.
I think Jane's going to find her way in there, unless they decide, you know what, we have to all band together and vote her off because she's winning $1 million.
Right.
If she gets to that final three.
Right.
She's like, almost like in the same position that Ceri was in her game.
Yeah, too likable. Can get
too likable.
Everybody
gets
to the final five.
She gets to the final three, so you have to get rid of her at four.
Yep, she's going to make it to the final five, but she's going to be too much of a threat and will be voted out before she can get to that jury.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me talk about this, because I have to say, I wrote down in my notes that good Lord Brenda is a good talker. I have to say, she made a lot of sense tonight at Tribal Council, and I think if she would ever get to the jury, she would be able to sway a jury over pretty damn easily. Just because,
I thought she had a good performance too. I kind of respected her for saying, no, I'm not going to scramble. I'm going to leave
right.
this game with some dignity. I was like, wow. I was like, I'm very impressed, you know, that like, yeah, screw all these people in this game. I'm not going to walk run around and beg you to vote. If you're going to vote me off, you're going to vote me off. Go screw yourself.
Right. Right. And that's pretty much the attitude she took.
And I think that's great. I admire her for that.
Yeah. I have to say, I liked Brenda a lot more after tonight. I really did.
And when they showed kind of Sasha and Brenda looking at each other at the end, too. I was like, Sasha's giving her the idol. It's
yeah.
a smart thing to do.
Yes, it is. I agree with you. I thought right there at the end, and then when I saw Sasha voted for, I was like, wow, what an ass. But when she didn't, or he didn't give her the immunity idol, I'm like, what a dick.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was the only thing that he could do to possibly save himself.
Yeah, and now, next week, I think he's screwed next week.
He is.
At the very least, they're going to flush the idol.
Absolutely.
They're going to do they're going to get everybody together and split, you know, split the votes to flush the idol. And then, you know, he plays it, so then Chase goes.
What?
I mean, who else can Sasuke even possibly pull into his alliance? Kelly Purple doesn't even know what she's doing, so
no.
Maybe he can do something with her. But outside of that...
James says in the chat room, it looks like Nay may be in trouble from the preview. Come on. They tease that every week.
And she's got an idol.
Yes.
I mean, I can't... And at this stage of the game, what's Holly got to lose? If I were Holly, I would be thinking about bringing Naoki to the final three.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I were Holly, if I'm... Did Benry mention that? Because if I were Holly or Benry, I'm protecting Naoki at this point.
Yes, I think so. You have to.
I'm saying, you know what? We're not voting off Naoki. Yeah. You're doing whatever you can to get her into that final three sitting next to you.
I'm going to ask a dick question from my point of view. Is this for Naoki? This is a two-part question. Is this for Naoki a way to make herself famous, A? And B, is this a way for Naoki to guarantee herself on another All-Stars if it comes to that? Is this all an act?
She is working on an All-Star invitation. Although, to be honest, if I were going to cast from this season, if you said, Trevor, which two are you putting on All-Stars?
Dan and Kelly Purple.
Yeah, I'm going to say Brenda and Brent. Actually, three. Brenda, Jane, and Marty, to me, would probably be people. Of everybody on this season, I think those are the three that would get the most All-Star consideration.
I'm not sure there's that many All-Stars in this season. I'm not sure there's... if you're going to throw Marty in there, I like less says Fabio.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to say Brendan and Jane and maybe Fabio and Marty are like the next two.
I'm going to say Fabio, Naoki, and that's it. That's all I can say, because Brenda, although she is a good, smooth player, without somebody like Chase around, no one's going to fall for her bullshit.
I think she could put a spell on another guy if
you
she wanted
so?
To. I think so.
You think Brenda shows her snatch?
I mean, to me... by the way, Naoki sure threw Brenda under the bus.
Oh my god, holy shit.
I mean...
I forgot to do the inappropriate bow, sorry.
If I were Brenda, I would never speak with her again. Like,
no.
If I'm at the rap party and I see her there, I definitely turn around and go in the other direction.
Yeah.
Like, our friendship, it's no longer exists anymore after you threw Right? I mean, she openly led the charge to get her off the show.
Absolutely.
Brendan never even saw that coming, because even at the end, she's like, I thought she was my friend.
Yeah.
You know, Naoka tried to deny it, and Brenda was just laid out how I know it's you. It was like the Michael Corleone letting Fredo know that she betrayed him.
Well, Brenda came into that tribal council like frickin' Matlock. she had all the evidence. She was laying it all out.
She kept her composure too, because I would have stood up and said, "You screwed me. You know it. You're a liar."
Yeah, but Matlock keeps his cool. All right, he lays out all the evidence and keeps his cool. That's how Matlock rolls.
Well,
so let's rewind a little bit. I want to go back to the reward challenge, which wasn't even a competition when you have Dan on your team. He's just dead weight, and it's almost comical how long they're keeping him around.
If I'm Holly or Benry, my ideal final three has Dan and Naoka sitting next to me.
Yes.
Right? I mean, if you're Holly or Benry, aren't you looking down and going, if I could get those two next to me in the final three, I'll do the first unanimous vote in a three-way jury.
But even Naoka, I mean, in terms of just, she's not that much dead weight. And I'm going to get...
Naoka actually is okay in challenges. Dan is just awful.
Yes, and we're going to get... I have a whole section dedicated. We've got a whole block dedicated for Naoka that we're going to come up to. I want to focus on Dan and what... Because I'm thinking of the post vote out interview that I have with Dan. What the fuck do you ask him? Because he's done nothing.
Just seeing that final three scenario will never play out.
No. Oh, she says, okay, final three scenario, Dan, Fabio, and Naoka. Who wins? It'll
Fabio,
never
I think. Fabio! $1 million.
Fabio would win that. Now, Reality Rock says maybe it's Dan's game to do nothing. Maybe it is, but it's just comical how
little he does.
You see, if you're doing
nothing, though, you're really like a leader, right? Like, Scout, I'm going to go back to her, was very good at doing nothing. She was like an older person, didn't really do too much.
She was an expert at doing nothing.
Yeah, but she was very good around the camp, you know what I mean? Like, people liked her and whatnot, so she stayed in till the final three. Dan doesn't even, he's not even like a leader around camp or anything. He's just kind of there. He just kind of eats food, sits around, grumbles a little bit, probably snores when he sleeps.
And oh, absolutely, my God. That guy saws fucking logs. Davey says Dan is the Zingbot around camp. Zing!
Oh, but now we can get into this. What do you think about the fire?
Yeah, I know. I wanted to get into that. Let's talk about the fire. Let's go right into the fire. Because what the fuck? You fucking dumbasses, when you put wood next to a fire, it combusts.
Wood's flammable?
Wood is fucking flammable. You dummies. What were they thinking?
I wonder if the fire was, in fact, worse. And a little rain stopped it from spreading all over the forest. Or if the people were looking at it and going, wait a second, we can't let this fire burn all the way out of control.
Fuck that. If they could have been there pouring gasoline on their camp, they would have been, because they wanted good TV. If there was any producer standing around, he would have been like, get me the flamethrower and a fucking jug of gas.
Their camp was just all their food, too.
Everything.
Their machetes, their lamp, everything gone.
Yeah. Everything. I don't understand. And who was it that stood back and went, huh, how did that happen?
Oh, no.
How the hell did it happen? You put wood next to a fire, you dumb cluck.
Here's the thing. Why was their fire still, like, like large and in charge when they left for the reward challenge.
They got right? A fucking
I would
set
think
of
you would try
fire.
To take it down a little notch, you know what I mean? Usually you get like a really big log and you like let it like burn like, you know, a little slowly, you know, on a loaf. And then when you come back, you blow on the big log, put some pine needles under it, and get the fire going again.
It's just ridiculous to why did they even do that? I don't know. But I want to talk a little bit about the reward challenge, a couple things. First, I wouldn't fucking sled down a volcano. Didn't that just seem dangerous to you?
It seems a little dangerous.
I just would not do that, nor would I make a picnic down at the base of a fucking volcano.
I agree with Justine. They should have just let Dan stay and stoke the fire since he was pointless in the challenges anyway.
I really did figure that Dan took a shit in the middle of the camp. That was my thing. I don't know. Now, I do want to... Let's get into Nyanka. Because here's our block on Nyanka. And I want to start at the reward challenge. At the reward portion of the reward challenge. She takes Fabio aside at the volcano and wants to work together with him.
I thought that was like... to me...
First,
that
was ballsy.
When I saw that happen... I was like, has this all been a ploy? Are they actually going to be aligned for the rest of the game?
Right.
And if they were, would that not be brilliant on their part? Because everybody thinks they hate each other. Why wouldn't you go with, like, the open arguing? I've always wondered why people didn't do this on the show, right? You become an alliance with somebody, but then you, like, as part of your, like, cover, you argue with them the entire time you're around them. You tell everybody you can't stand them, but secretly you're working with that person.
Yes.
They could pull that off if they wanted to.
Nyanka and Fabio definitely could. But it just seemed ballsy to me that she took him aside. Like, oh, let's go.
And I think that was actually a really, really good gameplay decision. Because Fabio immediately was like, wow, thanks for letting me in on the secret.
Yeah.
It was kind of like two warring factions settling down at the peace table.
Yeah.
And Fabio was totally on board with getting rid of Brenda. I think that's actually what kind of iced Brenda, was that those two were in it together. Benry and Holly were in it together. Too many people had too much skin in the game now in terms of getting rid of her.
But here's the thing, and I'm just reading Davey's comment, and I'll address Davey's comment after this. I have to give Nyanka some respect, and I don't want to, but her ability to evolve in this game is astounding.
Her gameplay has quietly been getting better with the week. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yes, and if she's able to change her game like this whenever she wants...
And I will say she's got Alina's vote on the jury.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's Davey's comment. But if she's able to change her game whenever she wants, and if it's done right, she can fucking win this game. Now, Davey said, and I hate to give her credit, but she was doing the same thing with Alina.
She did. She pulled Alina aside. Now Alina's loyal is probably a vote she can count on when it gets to the jury. And people forget, Nyanka's still sitting on immunity idol. Everybody's kind of concerned themselves with Sasha's immunity idol. Meanwhile, Nyanka's got one in her pocket.
Right. I just have to give Nyanka a lot of credit. She can evolve her game when she needs to, and she's done some really stupid shit in this game. And she's been able to dodge it every time, and it is just shocking to me. It's just shocking to me.
She flows between having great gameplay and having awful gameplay. She's like a baseball player that goes 4-for-4 in one game and then 0-for-4 in the next.
Yeah.
But can we talk about somebody who's been going 0-for-4 for the last three weeks? What's up with Chase? Yeah, I need to agree with guest 6858. I mean, Chase is going to get eliminated from the show just because everybody in camp thinks he's an idiot.
Yeah, and guest 6858. Well,
he was running around and basically giving away the plan to Brenda, and everybody at the camp saw it happening.
Guest 6858 says, was anyone surprised that no one tried to get rid of Chase for being so stupid? And you're right. I mean, he was running his mouth and everyone knew it.
Everybody, like Holly's like, you can't trust. Like, they were pissed at Chase.
Yes. They
Chase
were.
Almost, if they didn't consider Brenda such a big target, Chase was going to go.
Yep.
And in fact, that may help Sauce next week because they might just decide we can't have Chase around here either.
Yep. I agree.
If I was Sauce, I'd stoke that fire. Stoke that fire.
He has to, I mean, he has no other angles to take in this game. And he cut his angles down by about 50% by not sticking with Brenda tonight and playing his idol.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Although, let's be honest, it wouldn't have made any difference. If Chase and Sash would have stuck with her, Nayanka would have had 3 votes tonight. And I was just thinking of Purple Kelly's 1 vote for Benry, which wouldn't have been an issue. Nayanka would have went home.
Yeah, and then you would have eliminated an idol also.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I was giving Nayanka a bad time. Why tell Sash the plan to get rid of Brenda? But I'm surprised that Sash actually listened to her.
I think Sash already knew Brenda's goose was cooked.
Yeah.
And he was trying to play up to Nayanka that, hey, I'm still with you.
Yeah. And what was Sash's comment? At one point tonight in a confessional, he said, my goal would be to never use the idol. That's just stupid.
Well, I think a lot of people consider that if you're on the game of Survivor, right, you know, I could see people like saying, you know, if I get to the Final Four and not have to play the idol, that's almost like a badge I can hold up to the jury.
You think
and
so?
Like, I was so good that I was able to keep this idol in my pocket the entire time.
But that you threat know? That threat can still be more powerful than the idol itself.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I wanted to get to tonight was the immunity challenge. Now, this is the first time that I really have to bust Jeff's balls. Because he arguably changed the outcome of that challenge by telling Jane to stick in it. Don't give up. Don't you dare give up. You've come too far. And she did. She stuck in it and won it.
Yeah, I think she was going to... Yeah, you're right.
She was going to tap out, and Chase was going to win immunity.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it may have changed the whole course, because if Chase had immunity, Sash has a hidden idol, they could have possibly protected Brenda. And I really have to say that Jeff's sideline quarterbacking is really changing the outcome of this game, and tonight just proved it. I really think that him saying what he said changed Jane's mind to stay in there, and it ended up giving her the edge because Chase didn't hang on.
Rob James asked the question. He said, "I bet Chase gives Brenda the idol if he won. You think he would have?
Oh my god!
At least what's the percent? 30% chance he was he does that?
45%.
45%. I like 45.
46.82%. Yeah, they're saying 85, 65 in the chat room. No, I
Brenda,
just
I don't want to be in this game anymore. You mean too much to me. No. Yeah.
He totally has Romeo Juliet syndrome, don't he?
Barney Stinson would say 87%.
Now, I just have to say that Jeff doing what he did tonight arguably changed the outcome of the challenge. Maybe it didn't. Maybe it was edited that way. But I am shocked at the sidelining that he's been doing this season. I mean, he's worse than we are. Because he's right there.
So who do you think's going home next week?
Oh, fuck. These fucking alliances change every week. It fucking could be Holly, for all the fuck I know. It could be Jane. It could be Sash. I don't know, because we start over again next week with alliances. No one stays aligned to the same people 2 weeks in a row.
I'm saying Chase. I think they're all going to band together and vote off Chase.
I have to say that I think that Sash is going to use his idol, and they'll probably get rid of Chase. They're going to probably be smart enough to split their vote to get rid of Chase. But I don't know. I don't fucking know, because Chase could jump right in with Nyanka and fucking Fabio and get together and vote out Holly.
The only thing, if I were Sauce, what I would try to do is, if you know the vote split's coming, convince Chase and Kelly Purple, right, to vote, like, Benry's, write Benry's name down. Because if you're going to use the idol, you might as well get rid of the strongest person.
Reality Rock says Chase wants to be at Ponderosa with Brenda. And Davey says it won't be Dan or Kelly Purple because nobody knows they're there.
It's true.
My favorite line, and T. Porter just pointed it out, Jeff asked Kelly Purple for her 20 years of wisdom. Even in the moment of Tribal Council recording the show out there of Survivor, he even knows in that moment that she's getting no screen time. And he's like, I gotta give this girl some fucking screen time, I gotta ask her a question. He knows, even out there, that she's getting nothing. And,
hey, maybe Kelly Purple's playing the ultimate under the radar game. Maybe she's listening to RFF radio for 5 years. It's like, you know, I'm going to do what Trevor and Rob always said. Just play an under the radar game.
But
just see what happens.
I've never seen anyone go so far under the radar that even the cameras don't find her. Have we seen a fucking confessional from her in the past 6 weeks?
Would be hysterical is if they went to a challenge and they're like, is everybody here 1, 2? Oh, shit. Did somebody go get Tim? Forget to get Kelly Purple.
Fuck, we forgot to wake her up.
Damn it. And
the producers are standing there, fuck it. She's not going to make any difference anyway. Let's just go.
That would be hysterical.
No, I don't know who to say is going home, because it just changes every fucking week. Every week it changes. Who do you think's going home?
Chase.
You think Chase is going to go home?
Yes.
The only way Chase goes home is, I think Sash plays his idol and they split the vote. That's the only way.
All right.
But I'm just going through my notes. I just cannot believe these fucking dumbasses left wood next to their fire. Melted their tarp. Oh, where was the reaction from the people at the reward challenge? Like, the people from the reward challenge comes back to camp. We didn't see the reaction on TV. That would have been something to see on TV, I would have thought.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't see that. I think that's all I have for Survivor.
Should we go in the Amazing Race?
Should we? Really?
I just felt bad that Gary and Mallory got eliminated.
I loved Gary and Mallory. And fucking, what happened to our Nat and Kat?
Honestly, I think Nat and Kat have been on too much of a hot streak. I think this is just kind of a draw. I think they're going to get back into first or second place next week. If you look at first or second place, I feel like this is kind of an oddity, and we're going to see. Well, Jill and Thomas have been around. They've been hovering up and down.
Yeah.
Nat and Kat and Brooke and Claire in fourth and fifth, I think that's going to reverse itself next week, and they're going to be first and second.
I don't want to give away too much of my interview with Gary and Mallory that's coming up at the end of the show. And by the way, I have a Marty interview coming up. Gary and Mallory, Nat and Kat, found free maps at the airport there where they were when they were arriving, and took them. They were the only two teams to take the maps. And those maps fucked them hardcore.
Really?
Yes. Gary and Mallory ended up going to the wrong side of the mountain, and that's what took them 9 hours to get to the other side.
Wow. Nat and Kat realized they're driving the wrong direction a little earlier.
Yes, they did. And Gary and Mallory get into it a little bit more in my interview later on, but that's what happened, is a map fucked them over hardcore.
So how far behind do you think Nat and Kat are? You know, it's all going to flip-flop anyway, so they're
probably
not staying in that country.
They're probably over an hour behind.
You know what, though? I think they're flying somewhere. I think they're all going to bunch together again.
You don't think they're going to stay in Oman?
No.
Yeah, I think the previews did show them going somewhere else.
Now, what percent chance do you think there is that this week's episode is a non-elimination leg?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Five teams left.
I'll know tomorrow when I don't hear from CBS. No,
I gotta think there's at least a 50% chance this is a non-elim.
No,
if it's not
because
this week, it's next week.
No, they're not going to do an On a Limb this week because they're going to wait to get down to that final show. And either final four or final three, they'll do an On a Limb.
I see an On a Limb coming next week, I guess.
I can see an On a Limb after they get down to final.
Let's just say I won't be surprised if Phil says, this league, you are not eliminated from the Amazing Racer.
Yeah, it could be next week. I would say that it could be next week. It's not going to be this week. But, so, Chad, let's talk about Chad and Stephanie oversleeping.
I always wonder if they were going to get penalized for oversleeping, for missing the their initial reading of the clue.
You mean the two-hour penalty wasn't – their two-hour late start wasn't enough of a
penalty? Not really, because they all got bunched together at the airport.
They only really lost 10 minutes.
Now, here's the thing. How does that even happen? If let's say you're on the show, right? Don't you have the hotel giving you a wake-up call, right? Don't you have every alarm you have in your hotel room set to wake you up?
Yes, you do. And
like,
you ask 86 times, what time do I have to check in? What time do I have to check in? Are you sure this is the time I check in?
Honestly, I'm not even sure if I'd be able to sleep knowing that I'm in a race for $1 million.
I know. I don't know how these people
sleep. I'd
probably
be drinking coffee the entire time.
Do you think they just fucked that night and were just trying to sleep because he knew he was going to propose the next day? you think they had a little midnight romance, bow chicka bow wow, right there?
I thought it was actually good. I'm going to take my hat off to Chad. I did think he chose a nice stage for the engagement. It was a nice shot in the background, right on the water.
I know, but why are you proposing on The Amazing Race? Jesus.
Hey, you're on CBS. It's kind of a ballsy thing to do, to be honest, because what if she had said, no, I'm not married.
You know, if she would have knew what was good for her, she would have said no.
What if that had happened? That would have been like the most horrifying thing in Amazing Race history.
Horrifying, the greatest television ever. That's what it would have been. It would not have been horrifying.
Can you imagine the risk Chad was taking? Is what if she says no? First off, not only would people watch The Amazing Race now, but I guarantee that clip would be on YouTube for the next 30 years.
Holy crap. The greatest.
It'd be like
television.
The most downloaded clip in YouTube history.
Oh, they would be doing
They'd
like,
have to shut down the website.
They would be doing like those shows like, you know, like greatest moments in television history, and that would be number one. If she would have just said no.
It's like, you know, nah.
You know,
not
I've been
really.
Thinking about it, Chad. You're kind of a dick. I'm going to say no. I'm going to pass right now. But come on, buddy. Let's go fucking race. He's back there just trying to slit his wrists. He wants to fucking kill himself.
Hurry up. You have a roadblock.
Can I hang myself? A detour. Slit your wrist or hang yourself. Chad would be like, sign me up for both. Fucking give me the U-turn.
Now, two people get U-turned on this leg of the race.
Yes, a double
U-turn. That's why I thought we might get a non-elimination leg. Because last year, the U-turn turned out to be non-effective because they put a non-elimination
right.
at the same time. And I wonder if they're going to do that again this year to screw the teams who used the U-turn.
I don't know, but if Nat and Kat don't get to that U-turn early, they are fucked.
They're definitely getting U-turned. I'm just wondering who the second team getting U-turned is.
Jill and Thomas.
I'm assuming that Jill and Thomas?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say
Who would U-turn them?
Chad and Stephanie.
Chad and Stephanie are definitely U-turning somebody.
Yeah.
I think you see them debating it when they get there. So you know they're and I think Nick and Vicky are going to U-turn somebody, too.
Yeah,
I think Nick and Vicky will U-turn the doctors, and Chad and Stephanie will U-turn Jill and Thomas.
Yep. I agree. I agree wholeheartedly with you there.
I think Brooke and Claire are going to slide by no U-turn because people won't want... They're too nice. They don't want U-turn them.
She took a fucking watermelon to the head. Don't fucking U-turn her, you pricks.
Yeah, Brooke and Claire, if you want America to be full wholeheartedly against you, U-turn Brooke and Claire.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole YouTube community will be... Yeah. No, I see Chad and Stephanie trying to get rid of Jill and Thomas because if it hadn't been for the penalty that Jill and Thomas incurred, Chad and Stephanie would not have been in first place.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, and guess
I think Chad and Stephanie are going to U-turn Jill and Thomas.
It's guess 259 come down to stop
that
Trevor.
U-turn first.
Guess 259 said in the promo it showed Jill and Thomas and Nick and Vicky doing the U-turns.
Ooh, if it's Jill and Thomas doing the U-turn and Chad and Stephanie are getting U-turned.
Yep. Oh, and that is going to piss them off. Chad is just going to go on a fucking rampage.
That'll make for great television.
It will. And hopefully Stephanie takes that ring off and throws it down the toilet. I don't know. Who gives their fiancé a used ring? I know it's his mother's. I understand.
Oh, that's fairly common. Didn't Prince William just give Kate Princess Diana's ring?
Yes.
I believe so.
He did. And I just...
You know how I know that? Because I read Us magazine.
You're fucking royalty. You're fucking royalty, and you're giving... You know, he should not want her to have to fill the shoes of Princess Diana.
Are we really going to start talking about Prince William?
Yes,
Kate Middleton?
We are.
I'm not prepared to talk about this on the radio.
It really ticks me off because you do not want to have to give her the pressure.
We're going to be an object of ridicule if we start talking about celebrity weddings.
I'm just saying you do not want to put her in the pressure of trying to fill the shoes of Princess Diana.
talking about the monarchy in the podcast. Go figure.
It's a jolly good time. Thank you, Sum Solstice. I just buy her a new fucking ring. That's all I'm saying.
I think that's fairly common. In a lot of families, I think you always pass it down.
Wow.
I think that's actually you'll find it's like I think that's a pretty big tradition. To be honest,
I'm gonna be honest. I'm gonna bury my mother with her wedding rings on. I think
in some traditions, it's if you do that, it's kind of like keeping the past. I think it's fairly common, to be honest. I didn't do it, but I know people that have.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I guess. Sum Solstice says, Rob, at the rate you're going, .. He must listen to fucking 2 Cents Radio. Because we got into relationship talk. We got a sidetrack. We got into relationship talk on 2 Cents Radio the other night, Trevor. And we got pretty personal. So if you want to hear my personal life, 2centsradio.com.
Nice.
Yeah. We got to get you on that show sometime.
You just have to set up with my agent.
Okay, I'll do that for sure.
Yeah, have your people get in touch with my people.
Okay, because that's the only way you and I communicate anymore, is through our people. We're a team.
Make sure my publicist knows about it also.
We're a team, and we don't fucking talk to each other.
We're like on the... I wonder if that happens for like big famous like radio stars or TV stars, right? Like... Do you, like, show up with all your people and just, like, sit down and, like, you know?
You think Howard and Robin, do you think they ever talk?
Like, they come in, like, different doors.
Yeah.
And they don't talk. They have, like, different dressing rooms. And, yeah, they come out 2 minutes before the show, wave hi to each other, sit down.
If I had to fill 4 hours a day.
You're right. For 4 hours a day, you probably can't talk to the other person.
No, you can't.
So you need all of your material for that 4 hours.
Yes, you need everything.
I never thought about that. But if you are filling 4 hours a day, I mean, how many different conversations can you have for four hours?
I listen to Opie and Anthony sometimes on SiriusXM. Their shows, when you take their commercials out, 3.5 hours. They're doing 3.5 hours of content Monday through Friday. I don't know how the fuck they do it.
Yeah, I think they have writers. I think they have...
I don't think they do. I think they just sit there and bullshit the whole time. And, I mean, they've got guests coming in and everything almost
honestly,
every day.
Honestly, if we were on a radio show for 4 hours... We would need somebody feeding us topics.
Holy shit.
I feel like we'd be spending an hour talking about Bristol Palin still being on Dancing with the Stars.
Absolutely. We could do that.
Which, by the way, stunning upset. It just shows how popular, I guess, Sarah Palin is.
I guess.
That she's got all of her people calling in to keep Bristol on the show.
I guess, okay, so
even
Sarah
Bristol
Palin
was shocked that she's on the show still.
Sarah Palin has a new show on TLC. biggest premiere in TLC's history was Sunday night with Sarah Palin's show.
I think it's interesting that she has her own reality show.
Yeah, and she's going to run for president. I mean, let's... come on. She's sitting down and talking with her family about it now, about running for president. When are we going to stop pretending that she hasn't decided and just...
She's running for president. I'm just not sure if I want my president being on a reality show.
I agree, but...
I agree that she's running, and she's very popular, obviously, because Bristol is... She could win Dancing with the Stars, because it comes down to the fans' votes. And I'd like to know, I'd like to have an inside person at ABC share with us what the vote results were.
Yeah, that'll never happen.
I mean, or at least give us like a... Yeah, if you're ABC, wouldn't you release the percentage? Right? Because wouldn't that encourage more people to vote? Like, let's say I'm a fan of Jennifer Grey. And I really want Jennifer Grey to win, but I'm not that motivated to go vote, you know what I mean? If I knew she actually needed my vote, maybe I might pick up my phone and call 10 times.
Right.
I think they should throw out there, maybe like on Tuesday afternoon at like 5 o'clock, say, listen, we're going to preliminarily release what the votes are at 5. So that means if you support this person, you have 3 hours to get your votes in. How many people would just... I guarantee there's a lot of fans that would just race their phones and start voting.
Yeah, I don't know, because... And we experience that with this show, Trevor. I mean, we have a lot of listeners, but not a lot of them are, like... Not all of them are friends with us on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're looking at I mean, the participation rate probably is higher than I think, but I mean, we experience that problem with the participation rate. I mean, we have a lot of people listening to the show. We just don't have a lot of people talking back.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know. I'm just saying they need to do something, I think, to get participation up. That's probably the best idea that they've probably heard. So way to go for giving it to them.
So I thought that was a bit... All right, so we should probably go back to the Amazing Race now. Chad and Stephanie. Chad has 5 roadblocks. Stephanie has 3.
Yeah.
Only 4 legs left. That means Stephanie has to do this roadblock.
Yeah, I mean, if Chad and Stephanie expect to be in the finals, he cannot do any more.
Not till the last leg. That's what I'm... Same with Nick and Vicky. Nick has 5, Vicky has 3. So Vicky has to do this roadblock. Will that factor into this week's show?
I still think, just Chad and Stephanie, yes, I think it's going to factor in. And I still
especially if they get U-turned also.
I think Chad and Stephanie got lucky this last week.
I think they might be going home this week. Because if you factor in them getting U-turned and her having to do the roadblock.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I just felt bad for Gary and Mallory. I thought they got screwed.
I was rooting for Gary and Mallory, too. I like them.
You know, and I'm rooting for Nat and Kat, but my mom pointed out something to me. She's like, why are you rooting for them? They're doctors. They don't need the money. I'm like, yeah, good point, Ma. Thanks. I still kind of root, but I will say, maybe.
I feel like I should root for Nat and Kat, though, because I feel like they're the most deserved. They're the best team on this race.
The thing that annoys me about Brooke and Claire, and it shakes me to my core, they're kissing everyone in every country.
I think that's kind of fun. I like Brooke and Claire only because, like I said last week, after they finish a roadblock, like, you know, Nat and Kat are like surgeons, everybody else too, like immediately on to the next one.
Yeah.
Brooke and Claire kissing people, jumping up and down, high-fiving. They take at least 10 seconds of celebration time after they finish.
Every time they kiss a total stranger on the street, it just shakes me to my core. Just gets me every time. But, no, I still say Brooke and, or Nat and Kat are my favorites. But, my mom's not rooting for Nat and Kat because they've got money. That's her excuse. They're rich. Them, they're educated. Yeah, thank you, Davey. So, I'm going to say Chad and Stephanie may be in trouble this week. I'm also going to say Nat and Kat are in trouble this week.
I'm going to go Chad and Stephanie. I think they got a lot of hype for last week's show to set them up for going out this week.
You're right. Fucking get rid of them after they
propose. A lot of airtime last week. Now they go home this week.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like Nick and Vicky are getting a Final Four edit.
Yeah, I mean, we got five teams left. Nick and Vicky have to really screw up, I think, at this point to not make it to the Final Four.
I think they're in.
Especially with the double U-turn.
I feel like, yeah, double U-turn. I think they're one of the ones U-turning.
Yeah. And I think that solidifies their place in the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
Which, Nick and Vicky, how they ever made it to the end, I don't know, because they are maybe the dumbest people I've seen on the race.
Especially because both of us were predicting they go off.
Yeah. They got 10th place week one. 10th place out of 11 teams.
I mean, we both had them going off the show the next week.
They've had a gradual...
They've actually gotten them better. If you look at their placing.
Yep. Well, 10, 8th, 5th, 6th, 6th, 7th, 3rd, 3rd. That's not bad.
They're in it. They're in it.
They're in it to win it.
So now.
All right. What else you got?
Nothing.
We run out of gas, folks.
Well, in 5 minutes, too, is one of my favorite shows on TV, starring Sean Spencer and Burton Guster.
What is it?
You watch Psych?
No, I don't watch Psych.
Oh, Psych is phenomenal. You should watch that show.
Don't watch Psych.
You'd like it, I think.
You think so?
I think you'd like it.
I'm having troubles enjoying TV lately. I'm hoping that my new 46-inch TV that I ordered today helps change that.
My two favorite... USA, actually, I think does a really good job with their shows. I like Psych and I like White Collar.
Ah, see, I've never heard of either one of them, actually.
Both of those shows are good. If you like Monk, you'll like Psych.
See, I didn't like Monk all that much.
You didn't like Monk?
I didn't like Monk all that much. So
I like Psych and I like White Collar. I'm not a big Burn Notice fan. But I like that USA actually tries to put some quality programming. I'm sure, you know what they should do? Because I believe NBC and USA are owned by the same people. They should actually take USA's shows and put them on NBC. Because then they'd have a much more watchable TV schedule.
Some sources said Medium got canceled today.
Medium was getting pretty good ratings,
too. I thought
it
was doing all right. I've seen commercials.
Yeah, CBS, though, it seems like every show they put on TV, it just touches gold.
Yeah.
It's like they can't miss with their shows.
I know.
They could have me and you sitting on there for 30 minutes, and we'd be scoring like an 18 rating.
Yeah, that's not what they want. They do not want us on TV. Not at all.
For some reason, CBS, just anything they put on the air works.
I wonder how CBS's version of The View is coming along.
With Julie Chen
and
I hear it's not bad. I hear people like
Osborne. What's her name? Sharon Osborne.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't set down Pirate. Davey's saying Kid Nation Gold? Pirate Master?
Kid Nation and Pirate Master are probably the two biggest misses.
No, you know what? Fuck you and Kid Nation, because I thought Kid Nation was great, and I still want that one kid on our show.
Pirate Master is definitely the one show CBS tried that just didn't work. CBS always seems like they just hit with their shows.
God, I need to find, where is my fucking Kid Nation?
Even
shit?
That show with the Defenders... I thought that show looked terrible, but surprisingly enough, it's doing pretty good ratings.
Here's some Kid Nation.
I was thinking maybe we could kill some chickens, have a big feast tonight.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. Not just one or two chickens, but they can like a lot. We could have plenty for everyone.
We'll kill like five.
I think a lot.
Like 10.
I'll take this one.
10 chickens. One axe. 10 heads.
Taylor, Kelsey, Layla, they're killing the brown one.
You need to calm down.
Guys, I'm picking the chickens that would be good to eat.
Well, I don't want to eat my favorite chicken.
How is that not gold?
Well,
ugly chickens must die. I'm just going through some of my old clips here on Kid Nation. Greg did a hell of a lot more.
Hey, how's it going, man?
I was the obvious choice.
Campbell, my little bro, how are you doing?
I did the chickens, and I did a hell of a lot more work than Michael did. That was pretty disrespectful.
I want Greg on our show. The guest 6705 says, how old are these kids now? Shut up, Jeff says 37. Kid Nation. I miss Kid Nation. Well, Trevor, if you've got, we've got interviews to get to, and you want to get out of here because it's almost 10 o'clock, so how can people get a hold of you?
They can catch me at Trevor, rffradio.com.
I'm Rob at rffradio.com, twitter.com/RobRFF, and facebook.com/RobRFF. I'm putting all the troops on alert. We may need to do a Britney attack, Twitter attack again. Not yet. Not yet. I'm just telling you, get your ammo ready. Get it ready. Because we may need it next week. But not yet. Not yet. Anyway, guys, if you want to listen live next week, rffradio.com/live. Here are my interviews with Marty and Gary and Mallory. Have a great week, everybody. Talk to you next week. Hey, Marty. Rob from RFF Radio.
Hey, Rob. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You know, I've been better.
Well, what was your official deal with Sash, with the Idol?
The deal in my mind, forget about the, hey, I'll give it back to you, or I'll do this, or I'll do that, right? I mean, at the end of the day, it was, I had basically a gun pointed at my head, and you can either play along and hope and pray and really make some instinctual calls as to whether is this going to live up to what I think it's going to live up to, which basically was just buy me some more time, either to emerge or to a shift in the dynamics and the politics where maybe I'm better off. So I could have burned – I had to burn the Idol one way or the other. Give it to Probst, incur the wrath of them and the hatred, and ensure 100% that I'm gone the next week. Or what if there's a 2%, 3% chance that I give this thing to Sash and it buys me something? And in the end, I think, you know, it played out to my advantage because it clearly did, and Sash backed me up for two tribals, and it played out. It could have been the stupidest move ever if he had if they'd gone back on their word and I'd gotten voted out that night, but I stand by it.
Do you think that if you would have asked for your Idol back, he would have given it to you?
I don't think so. We talked about it because when Alina was going out, they portrayed me as being a lot more paranoid than I was. But I probably was on some level. There was way too much talking going on between people for it to look as easy as Alina going out. And when you see the episode, my paranoia was justified because there was a contingent that was desperately trying to get me off that day. So my instincts were right, and I was justified in being paranoid. We talked about getting it back from him, and Sash sets up to the effect, hey, if we're at Tribal and it looks like things are going sideways, I'll give it to you. I never believed that for a second.
Now, where did I would like to get to the root of the Marty-Jane hatred between each other. Where did that go south between you two?
Well, we should be clear there, right? Like, there was no hatred from me to Jane whatsoever, and I thought I was very clear always in the show. I mean, Jane started out this whole game in the first 5 minutes by introducing herself to me and Jimmy Johnson and one other person in the woods, and she said, quote, you know, my husband just died. I need the money. Please don't vote me off. So that was a huge red flag for me. Personally, I've got more human tragedy and loss in my life than her and Chase combined, but I would never bring that into a reality TV show. So it set off something in me that said, you know, careful, you know, or red flag about this person. Then she aligned herself with Wendy Jo and Jimmy T, two more red flags in my book because they were just weak players that didn't know what was going on. So that's it. I mean, we tried to warm up to her. Both Jill and I did. I don't know what the issues were on her side, whether we were – apparently more educated or something, just didn't jive with her background or something that really set her off. But at the end of the day, you know, I put a huge target on her back, but I was very pragmatic, non-emotional. It was not a personal thing. I didn't say she was a bad person or hateful or I hated her. It was just very true. This woman had every single ingredient for winning $1 million, and people were letting her get too far in the game to the point where you can't unwind it. And I think, especially in last night's episode and the one previously, you start to see how all of a sudden you've let this genie out of the bottle, and you can't put her back in again. So there was never any hatred or resentfulness. I'm really taken aback by the level of hatred that I've seen in the episode and in some of the outtakes, and even by Survivor standards, to throw kids under the bus and talk about parenting is, I find it to be despicable, and it talks to her upbringing and where she's from, and that's all I can say about it. It's below the belt, even by Survivor standards.
Well, that's all I have for you, Marty. Thanks a lot.
You bet.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Rob.
How are you?
We're good. Thanks for having us.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for being on the show with me.
Of course.
How hard was it to watch last night's show?
Well, we had a pretty good idea of what happened. We weren't too disappointed watching it. But, you know, it's hard. It's hard seeing that dang map and wishing we'd just put it down earlier. But we were glad we went out of the race like we ran the whole race, enjoying it, happy. And like I said, at the end, you know, I'm just happy to get to do it with my dad. So it wasn't too brutal to watch.
Now, tell me about the map. What was the, I mean, you mentioned it a little in the show, but I'd like to dig in a little deeper about that. What happened with the map and what happened with you guys?
Well, when we got off the airport, Mal noticed the kiosk, and it had free maps. And she grabbed one, and so did Nat and Kat. And we were the only two that had a map. And we kind of had this secret. We had the location of where we were going. It had the direct route to it. And we didn't need to stop and ask directions. It was a huge advantage. And we knew we were in the back of the pack. So we thought we had a huge advantage. And come to find out, it was not the direct route. You had to go around the other side of the mountain.
Wow.
Get to Jebel Shams.
Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, had it been any other leg and not a mountain, we might have been able to recover from it. But like I said last night, we were 9 hours out of the way because we had to go all the way to the top of the mountain around one side, then back around, all the way around it to the other. So
you were literally driving around for
an hour. Lord, I wish I would have grabbed the maps and handed them out to every single team, but I was being all secretive about it.
So you guys literally drove around for 9 hours. That was no exaggeration.
No exaggeration. Yep, 9 hours.
We went through it. We had to put gas in the car twice.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It hurts. When you don't have enough money for food and you got to spend it for gas.
Wow.
Yeah, we're wanting to drink the gasoline at the end, being like, we're getting our money's worth.
So what was the roadblock like for you, Mallory, last night?
It was really cool. You know, it was sad that last leg because we didn't see anybody. That whole first half that we were racing, we kind of felt like it was just us doing the race by ourselves, and we didn't like that part. So hanging out there in the middle of the canyon all by myself, we hadn't seen anybody else yet. I was kind of lonely, and that's what you probably hear me. You probably hear me say, I wish my dad could be here. I wish my dad could see this. It was just like me against the world. But it was cool to get to do. I'm pretty fearless, so I was glad to get to do a challenge like that before we went out.
How much hope did it give you guys, though, when you saw Nat and Kat there, especially where you were doing your detour?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, we never expected to see that in a million years. So you saw, I mean, we ran full blast to the very end. And after 16 hours, because we kept seeing them, you know, we were just minutes apart.
Right.
So
you really were, you guys really were as close as what TV made it out to be.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
We were at the market and saw them at the market, so we were just minutes behind them.
And the water truck, yeah. Everything's been shown accurately, I think. Yeah, the race is good. It's definitely a fair show. It's real. Really real.
How frustrating is it for you guys, though, to know that Chad and Stephanie overslept almost 2 hours and got first place in that leg of the race?
Well, we were glad to see it.
It was their day, I guess. Got engaged. he had it all going for him.
Yeah, I guess he did.
I know. Hopefully they didn't use up all their luck before their marriage.
But were you guys really concerned about Chad and Stephanie while you guys were there at the airport? Or are you like, oh, I hope they don't make it?
Well, you know, I mean, we raced clean, good. We liked everybody on there. But, you know, we were like, if you oversleep, well, hey, you need to be the last team, kind of, but, I mean, it would have been nice if we still would have been in the race, but...
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't meant to be, but...
It's just like in the challenges. You hate to see someone fail, and you try to encourage, but you want them to come in right behind you, too.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, who was you guys' biggest competition? When you guys started the race and sizing up the teams, who did you think was going to be your biggest competition?
I thought Thomas and Jill were competitive from the beginning. I thought... What, the Jersey girls?
I thought the volleyball players were going to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
I also thought Ron and Tony were going to be tough, for sure. So there were several teams, and it's funny how it ends up. It's always not those teams.
Right. So do you think that luck plays a big part in this race for some teams?
I think it's, I said a while ago, I think it's 35% mental, 35% physical, and about... Actually, no, 30% mental, 30% physical, and what's left? 40% luck, for sure. That's huge. Because, I mean, it wasn't always on our side. You know, people could have said, their car broke down. They got a flat tire. They shouldn't have made it
mm-hmm.
back in to the place or those times, but luck was on our side. Those legs, we just lost at the end, but luck's huge. Sure.
So besides this last leg, what was the hardest leg for you guys? And that's excluding this last one, obviously.
I'd say probably Ghana.
Really?
Yeah, I'd say Ghana. Yeah, because there are a lot of teams, which it's good to have a lot of teams, because chances are you can just hang on and stay in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But Ghana was hard. It was really hot. The bicycle challenge was the hardest thing I did. The wheelbarrow was so heavy, and I was so short that I couldn't hold it like a normal person could hold the wheelbarrow, so I had to put my arms underneath it and carry it, like, with my shoulders and my, you know, my neck strength, and we were just, I mean, we felt like we were about to fall out any minute, so that was probably our hardest leg, I would say.
I kind of want to talk to you guys, too, about how you split up your roadblocks, because it seems like some teams don't seem to take into effect and balance out the roadblocks. You guys did a good job. You ended up 4-4 on your roadblocks. Were you consciously making a decision that you needed to stay balanced, or was it one of those things that you just took it as it come?
Thank you. Yeah, we took it as it came. You know, my dad's been watching the show for a long time, so I think that he was pretty accurate in helping choose. And, yeah, we wanted to keep it even because as we kept racing, we knew we could make it to the end. And that's something you have to consider, I think, because you have to be even when you get to the end.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, a lot of teams were really uneven, and I didn't understand that. We talked about that, didn't we, Dad?
Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, we both had different strengths.
Yeah.
You know, I was scared I was going to get stuck doing a puzzle or something like that. And our memory challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was scared I was going to get stuck rappelling up a bridge.
So what was the funnest challenge you guys got to participate in?
We really liked the Arctic Circle. I think we were just so high. After Ghana, we were like, oh, my God. That was really cool.
Uh-huh.
The dog sled was really cool. My dad enjoyed even watching that. The tech sleds were cool. I think those were our favorites. Do you think so? Yeah.
In terms of the race, whose idea was it to go on? And Gary, you've been a fan. Mallory, was this something that your dad convinced you to do or you wanted to do also?
You know, my dad has been a fan for years, but I don't think he ever thought that he'd ever have a shot being on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when Miss America came along and we started, you know, we were in the talks of it and everything, we were like, hey, you know, I mean, this is going to be pretty cool. We got to keep up with this application process. So we made it through, but yeah, I don't think he ever really thought that it would have been reality until this year when I got, you know, a couple stats on my resume and thought maybe they could pay attention to me at least and we could make it through.
Now, did you guys have an alliance? Did you make any strategy moves out while you were playing the game?
We kind of had an agreement with a few of the teams, and it was mainly that we wouldn't lie to them.
Mm-hmm.
We may choose not to help them.
Well, we never did that, though.
But we wouldn't mislead them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we had a different alliances, I think, different legs. Like, it depends on who you're close to.
Sure.
Like, Michael and Kevin, we would be like, okay, we're following you this one. You guys have a map. Or, Thomas and Jill, they were close to us in Russia, so we were like, work together, you know? We'll just beat the last team. That's kind of, we were all really good friends, so it's just kind of who you're next to.
Yeah, Brooke and Claire in Sweden, we went to the gondolas together. So it was loosely aligned, but we worked with other teams.
I think you have to at some point.
Speaking of Brooke and Claire, how close were you guys to taking a watermelon in the face?
we didn't see that. That happened, and she was telling us about it. And until we saw it on YouTube, I couldn't believe it. The watermelons, we hit those nights. I don't know if you can notice it, but they wouldn't bust when you hit a suit of armor.
Yeah.
And that thing exploded on her face. It was amazing.
I hate to laugh, but it was great television to watch, and I just...
we used to laugh too, but she was laughing, so it made it okay.
Well, good. I didn't know, just watching that challenge, if that was a danger. Was that something that you guys experienced that you were worried about while doing that?
No, that never crossed her mind. Never.
Well, you got...
Obviously, all I was concerned with was learning how to juggle on a ball anyway, so, I didn't know this for sure.
And she wasn't the only one. Nick got hit with one, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jeez. It was a dangerous challenge then. Well, you guys, thanks so much for sitting down and talking with me today. And I'm sorry you got eliminated. I really was rooting for you guys.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate that a lot. Thanks for having us.
Oh, no problem. You guys have a great day.
Okay.
You too.